Welcome to the Make Light Show, the podcast that's all about curating meaning and joy in a light-filled life and part of the Life Listened Podcast Network. I'm Karen Walrond, photographer, leadership coach, and author of The Beauty of Different, Observations of a Confident Misfit. Join me as I answer your questions about how to make light in an occasionally dark world. And together, we'll prove that positivity, creativity, and kindness, both to yourself and to others, make the world go round. Welcome back, friends. Today, we're going to tackle a heavy subject, one that I'm a bit too intimately familiar with. Let's talk about perfectionism. Michelle writes, Karen, I'm a bit of a self-help junkie. I've read every book about how to be a great parent, a great leader, and a great homemaker. I've begun and stopped more diets and workouts than yoga practices than you'd think possible. But honestly, I can never keep up with everything that I learn, and I end up disappointing myself. I feel like I'm merely an adequate leader, an adequate employee, and I'm filled with shame when I skip a workout day or eat something unhealthy. I know I should feel grateful for what I have. I mean, I've got good kids, I'm relatively healthy, and I have a good job. But I feel like I should be striving to do more. How can I lead a more ideal life? Michelle, so much of your question sounds familiar. I think we all have those moments when we make firm commitments to improve a certain aspect of our lives, and when we fall short of our expectations, we get disheartened and maybe even give up. I know I've done this for sure. But rather than address how to make life more perfect, I'd like to talk about something that I sense might be an underpinning of this desire, the need to actually let go of perfectionism. Now, I admit that for a long time, I saw perfectionism as a badge of honor. I mean, who wouldn't hope to be perfect at all things, whether it be parenting or corporate America or health and fitness or whatever? If someone viewed me as a perfectionist, I kind of took it as a compliment. I mean, it meant that I was exacting, that I wanted things done well, to the tiniest detail, even if it meant that I had to be a bit of a bitch to get things done right. But of course, there's a downside to always wanting everything perfect, because constantly attempting to achieve perfection can feel really self-defeating. And in my experience, when I started failing to be perfect in every way, I began to be filled with self-doubt. My ability to be resilient and bounce back from failure started to wane. And honestly, so did my initiative. I started to think, why even try anything new if there's a risk that I might fail? And this, my friends, is no way to live. But several years ago, after reading my friend Brené's then new book, Daring Greatly, her words about the difference between perfectionism and healthy striving struck me like a bolt of lightning, because of course, there's nothing wrong with trying to be better at something. We should aim to improve ourselves in whatever arena we choose. But the difference is about motivation. See, perfectionism is outward focused. It's driven by the constant worry, what will people think if I don't do this perfectly? It's strongly rooted in being concerned about the judgment of others. And as Brené says, when perfectionism is driving, shame is riding shotgun, and fear is the annoying backseat driver. Or, as author Elizabeth Gilbert says, perfection is just fear in really good shoes. Healthy striving, on the other hand, that's more inward focused. It's not about anything external, but about wanting to do things for personal growth. It has a dose of healthy realism about it, too. There's the understanding that failure is possible, perfection is impossible, and the joy in the journey is in the attempt and the learnings that can come from missteps and mistakes along the way. In fact, the goal might not even be to be perfect. It might just be to get better. In other words, to put it in the words of Carol Dweck in her book, Mindset, perfectionism is fixed mindset. Healthy striving, however, is growth mindset. Why does this matter? Well, while you might get results by both perfectionism and healthy striving, social scientists will tell you you're more likely to have meaningful, longer lasting, and soul-filling success if you're motivated by growth as opposed to external judgment. Brené loves to say that you can't do anything brave if you're wearing the straitjacket of what will people think. And it's true. If you're concerned about the judging eyes of those around you, why even try something new if there's a chance you'll fail? However, if what you're motivated by is your own growth, you have an expectation that there'll be failures along the way. In fact, you would embrace those failures as learning opportunities. There would be an acknowledgement that better is better, and that makes the journey, well, better. So honestly, my first tip in letting go of perfectionism is to check in with yourself about why you're hoping to achieve the goal that you're trying to achieve. So, for example, let's say you've decided to start a rigorous workout program, but really to date, you've never actually been that into physical exercise. If your motivation is to rock a bikini by the time you go on your Caribbean vacation with your friends in a few months, specifically so that one guy who will be on the trip that you're kind of into can't help but be gobsmacked by your washboard abs, well, then you might want to check in with yourself about this external motivation. I mean, if you fall short, you skip a day, say, because of a twisted ankle or something comes up where you just need a breather, are you going to beat yourself up about it? Are you going to worry about whether or not your laps will show come bikini time? If, however, your motivation to start a rigorous workout program is because you just want to get in better physical shape for yourself, or you just want to start a habit of moving so you feel better, or you just like to see what your body might be capable of for your own curiosity, well, that's more inwardly focused, and you're more likely to be mindful when your body needs a break, or take a break without beating yourself up about it, or even return to your practice if life gets in the way and you fall out of practice for a while. You're just more likely to be kind to yourself. And speaking of being kind to yourself, when you do set a goal for yourself, be sure to break it down into small, bite-sized goals and celebrate each small goal as you achieve it. However, if you slip along the way, practice self-compassion. Now, I know I've talked about self-compassion before, this season's episode 9 to be exact, but I can't stress enough how important it is, especially if you find yourself a victim of perfectionism, as we all do from time to time. You might recall that self-compassion is all about treating yourself as you would a dear friend. I know this seems simplistic, but think about it. If you had a friend who was trying to achieve a goal, but somewhere along the way they slipped up, would you say to that friend, "My God, you are so stupid. How could you screw up so badly? You say you want to achieve this and this is how you try? You're such a hot mess." Well, I suspect you wouldn't, but we're only too eager to speak to ourselves that way, right? Instead, I'd suggest you'd be far more likely to say to your friend, "Man, I know this is difficult. I'm so sorry this happened. But you know what? You tried, and that counts for something. Take care of yourself while you're hurting right now, but when you're ready, I hope you'll try again. You now have more insight into what doesn't work and what might work instead, and I think you can do it." Imagine what would happen if we spoke to ourselves with this kind of kindness. This is what self-compassion is all about. And to be clear, self-compassion isn't self-pity. This isn't about sitting in a woe-is-me attitude, wallowing and wondering, why do these things always happen to me? Self-compassion is more encouraging than that. So when you find yourself disappointed in a slip-up on your way to reaching a goal, maybe actually physically getting a journal out and writing down what you would write to a dear friend who experienced the same setback, this might help, and it might help you speak to yourself with kindness. In other words, cut yourself some slack. Give yourself some grace. And finally, in addition to checking your motivation for your goals and practicing self-compassion, here's my third tip for letting go of perfectionism. Get happy now. Because here's the thing about perfectionism. Perfect is unattainable because goalposts keep moving. For example, if your goal is to be a perfect parent, and in your mind this means taking your kids to the park every week, chances are if you manage to do that, you'll think of something else that would actually get you to perfect. Like you might find yourself suddenly saying, "Taking my kid to the park every week is what I should do at a minimum. If I'm really going to be a perfect parent, I also need to pack lunches that are cut to look like cute little animals." And then if you achieve that, you'll come up with something else. It'll never end, and you'll never actually get to happy. However, the science of positive psychology shows that if you focus on your happiness now, you take a moment to celebrate your successes, notice the good that's in your life today, that your brain at positive will actually increase your productivity and likelihood of success in the future. In fact, Sean Aker, a positive psychologist, says that happiness actually gives you a competitive advantage, and that a positive outlook is actually more predictive of success than IQ or skill. Sounds simple, right? Be happy and success follows. Except how do you get happy? Well, I think a huge part of this is by cultivating gratitude. Think of it. A gratitude practice, an actual practice of taking note of the good that is happening around you, necessarily pulls you away from that must always be perfect thinking by making you focus on what can be celebrated in the present. It's actually a form of self-compassion and helps you perspective shift. It allows you to focus on your attempts and your baby steps and the positive moves that you are making in the present. In other words, it's a way of ensuring that you're enjoying the journey. But admittedly, gratitude doesn't always come naturally, which is why it requires practice. But practice doesn't mean difficult. You could, for example, keep a pad of paper on your nightstand and write down good things that happen to you during the day before you go to sleep. Or you could set an alarm on your phone to prompt you to think about one good thing that happened before you go to bed and just sit in a moment of gratitude. Or you know what? You could simply Google gratitude app. There are tons of tools out there for helping remind you to let go of negative and sit with the positive for the minute. Whatever you do, the point is to take a moment and celebrate what is good in your life, whether or not it's because of an action you've taken, or the people who support you, or the beauty around you. Try it for 3 weeks and notice how your outlook seems to shift to a more positive set point. And so these three things, being mindful about your motivations, practicing self-compassion, and practicing gratitude, these three habits can help move you from a fixed perfectionist mindset to a more growth positive mindset. And ultimately, Michelle, allow you to cut yourself some slack along the way. It sounds like you work hard to be a good person, and that intention alone makes you, well, perfect. The rest is just gravy. So be sure to stop and be kind to yourself. Remember, you're worth it. So that's it for today's episode. As always, I'll leave links in the show notes for more insight on how to let go of perfectionism. Of course, if you have any tips or tricks on doing the same, I'd love your wisdom. Please share your thoughts in the comments. And as usual, if you find yourself talking about today's episode on social media, don't forget to use hashtag MakeLightShow so I can find you. That's it for today, friends. If you're looking for more ways to make more light in your life, but find yourself stuck, please send me an email with any questions or challenges you'd like me to tackle to Karen@themakelightshow.com. And like Michelle, you might just hear an answer to your question in an upcoming episode of The Make Light Show. I'm Karen Walrond, and I'll be back next week with all new tips and tricks to make light. In the meantime, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this show in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a thing. Thrive on, friends.